The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And a pleasant good Tuesday morning to all of you. Yes, it is the AM. Yes, we didn't start out with good morning, Vietnam. No, we didn't start out with that. Didn't scream in your ear and tell you it was a little too early. Oh, my God, it's early. It's 0600. No, it's not like that. Hey, we got all sorts of interesting things happening today. You know, we talk about consumer, legal, and financial issues on this show. Everybody else is sitting there espousing politics. And we talk about stuff that matters because what goes on in D.C., well, it doesn't stay in D.C. It ripples down all over us. We're going to be talking with Ellen Brown. She is the author of a blog post called Web of Debt. She will be joining us later in the hour for the second half of the program. She has been spearheading the Public Banking Institute for the last two decades. She is, I believe, a retired attorney. She may still have her bar card. I don't know. But the thing is that, you know, she's, I don't believe she's a libtard and she's worth listening to because of the efforts that she's done trying to upright the country. She's definitely a big believer in the Bank of North Dakota business model, which we all should be adopting, but we're not because everybody is content to do what they're doing, allowing the government to give whatever foreign aid they want, which is one of the reasons former Texas Representative Ron Paul said, you know what, if you really want to cut costs, see, we're talking about government spending here, the Department of Government Efficiency, otherwise known as DOGE or DOG or DOG or whatever, D-O-G-E, it's an acronym. Another department, take a hard look at the assistance that the U.S. provides to foreign countries. Eliminate foreign aid. That was what Ron Paul wrote on Musk's X platform. To which Musk replied, DOGE will address this with full transparency for the American people. See, because Paul claims it's taking money from the poor and middle class in the U.S. and giving it to the rich in poor countries, with a cut to the facilitators in between. Americans don't want their government to borrow more money to spend on foreign aid. Besides, it is the immoral transfer of wealth and it's unconstitutional. All this transacting on X, while, of course, the Biden administration through the U.S. Department of Defense has announced on Pearl Harbor Day, it's going to send another $988 million worth of funding package to bolster the Ukrainian forces in the ongoing war with Russia. See, these warmongers will not let it go. They're going to fight and fight and fight all the way up until the time that January 20th. Now, we're all keeping our fingers crossed that Congress is not going to do something stupid on January 6th. The other warning, if you haven't been paying attention, please, let's not have a history repeating itself on January 6th by everybody going to the Capitol en masse. Guns or no guns, let's not do that. I mean, you all made your voices heard. Trump got all the swing states. Yes, I know, Congress is a little tipsy. They're all drunk with power. Yep, it's one big club. I really should play that song, Everybody in the Club Get Tipsy. Yeah, because that's how they are. Yeah, just like a bunch of drunken sailors in a strip club. And they got your checkbook. But actually, as I was talking about yesterday, and this is something that Ellen Brown wrote in her latest post, which we're going to talk about, and that is how to escape the debt trap, the federal debt trap. You know, they talk about the U.S. national debt. So does she. She posted on SheerPost, U.S. national debt. Notice how she referred to it as the U.S. national debt. $36 trillion. And only 4 months after it passed, $35 trillion and up to $2 trillion for the year. Then she refers to it as the federal debt, which is actually what it is. How to escape the federal debt trap. We're going to be talking to her about that blog post that she put up during our next segment of the show. And you see, while everybody is struggling to maintain some sort of stability financially in their lives, here we have Biden continuing to support the wannabe porn star over in Ukraine. I'm talking about Volodymyr Zelensky. He's a comedian, actually. And yes, of course, you know, if you've seen Man of the Year, they put a comedian in the White House, right? So, you know, there's all sorts of political movies that Hollywood puts out. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? But, you know, I bring all this stuff up because while we are struggling, I mean, this is a holiday season. Shoppers went online and got themselves deeper in debt. Seriously, Cyber Monday, Black Friday, I mean, we got, you know, then we're going to have January white sales. Gee, I wonder whether they're going to do something for the Latinx or the Hispanics or the Spanish people or the Mexicans, or are we going to have a Mexicali days, you know, where all the tacos are 50% off? I mean, you know, I mean, what are the merchants of the earth going to come up with now? This is just crazy. I mean, Target, look at Target. They got a target on their back because they Bud Lighted itself, according to one commentator. It says it, you know, Walmart says it's going to step back from the DEI agenda. Well, a little late for that. People are really picky about what they buy at Walmart now. It's one of these things of, do you need it? And if you don't need it, don't get it. And please don't dress up like some of those Walmart photos that we actually see online about people that go to Walmart wearing a, oh God, I won't even go into that. You know where I'm going with that. But you see, the thing is that Target just released its latest earnings report. And of course, poor results. Why? Because of this garbage with doing pride stuff all over the place. You know, tuck and roll for kids. Rainbow suits. Rainbow jumpsuits. Rainbow swimsuits. Onesies for guys. I mean, you know, way back when they did have onesies, you know, for the swim teams back in high school, and they basically were shorts with, it wasn't a two-piece, it was a one-piece. And if you were on the swim team, that's what you wore. And people were not, you know, flagrant about their sexual preferences back then. No, they kept it in the closet. They had to deal with it on their own. We didn't have the rate of suicides back then because people had better morals. And when you get, you know, the situation like with Daniel Penny, and all those people out there protesting that he should have been held accountable. And it's like, Neely Jordan's dad, or Jordan Neely's dad, rather, he gets up in front of the microphones because, of course, it's a platform for him. And he's sitting there, you know, ranting and raving, and the media is going, well, where were you? Where were you when Jordan Neely, you know, here's the thing. If everybody wants Daniel Penny, rather, to be held accountable, well, then maybe the next time a Neely gets on the train all drugged out, because see, I think that Daniel Penny was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He did the right thing, but he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and the wrong place was New York City on a subway. Jordan Neely should have been allowed to go run, rant, rave, scream at people, and anybody that challenged him, he was going to stab them with a knife. And they can all sit there and panic. And then what's this system going to do then? Haul the homeless guy in and charge him with multiple, of murder. What did Daniel Penny do? He saved all the bus riders. It obviously came out. All the people on the subway were panicking and thought, you know, well, this guy stepped up and became the hero. But you see, in this country, in the Biden administration, heroes get prosecuted because these people have a warped sense of justice. That's a big problem we have here in America. We have a DOJ and all of its minions that work the left-wing side of things that have a warped sense of justice, and they prosecute people who do the right thing. And then, of course, they bring on people on the witness stand that lie about it and said, oh, yeah, he died because of the chokehold. No, the guy was hopped up on dope. But see, they want to make him their poster child. Does that sound familiar? Like what happened back in 2020? Who was it in Minneapolis that, you know, I can't breathe. You see, there's another poster child for you. They want to make it all about the poster child. The guy was homeless. The guy was hopped up on dope. He threatened people. He screamed. He says, I don't care if I die. Well, Daniel Penny did not put him in a chokehold with the intention of granting Jordan Neely his wish. He did it to protect those people on the subway, and the truth came out. So, yeah. Jordan Neely's dad, where were you? Where were you for your son? Huh? Idiot. What can I say? You know, hey, look what, see how society has morphed. It's crazy, isn't it? We'll be talking about a federal judge rejecting Boeing's plea deal with the DOJ after we get back from these important messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, here we are, 18 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday. Ellen Brown joins us after the bottom of the hour news break. In the meantime, a federal judge decided that this plea deal between Boeing and the DOJ isn't going to go anywhere. This is part of the department's ongoing case over two fatal plane crashes, and leave it to Texas Judge Reed O'Connor to jump in on the fracas, expressing concern about provisions related to compliance with diversity and anti-fraud efforts, as well as the court's role in the deal. At this point, according to O'Connor, in his order, he said the public requires the court to step in. It's the public interest. Marginalizing the court in the selection and monitoring of the independent monitors, the plea agreement does undermine public confidence in Boeing's probation, fails to promote respect for the law, and therefore not in the public interest. More specifically, he criticized the deal for not conditioning Boeing's probation on its compliance with anti-fraud recommendations from an independent monitor. He also noted the deal says the monitor must report to the government rather than the court. Now, you see, that's the problem. Because the government can hide anything it wants to, and we the people who end up paying for it all, you wonder how. This is one of the reasons we're going to be trying to delineate between the national debt and the federal debt. Because as far as I'm concerned, there is no national debt that is on us unless you can uncover something. And I'm going to ask Ellen Brown what she knows about it when she comes on the program. Something went down during the Dodd-Frank period, and apparently there were uniform commercial code statements filed in every state in the United States with Obama's name on them to the tune of 14, I don't know if it was trillion or quadrillion, I lost track of all the zeros, but I did see the number 14 followed by a whole slew of zeros, and every man, woman, and child, basically, every human living body with hands and legs and arms and whatever was, of course, named on this UCC form. It's like a financing statement. And that happened during Dodd-Frank, during Obama. Now, why would that happen? You understand these things are only good for 5 years under certain circumstances. I've been doing some research on this, and there's got to be ways of remedying this. I noticed, like I said yesterday, nobody's gone into bankruptcy court and says, hey, I want to discharge my share of the national debt. Well, that would be an incorrect statement. I want to discharge my share of the federal debt, and I want to talk about the Uniform Commercial Code statement that was filed in my state that apparently affects me, because people are wondering how it is that bonds were created on all of us, and they're held somewhere. But see, these UCC liens apparently are filed on behalf of the Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve System. It is not federal. It's not a reserve. It's the banking cartels. And apparently Obama is tied into them somehow, as many of these other presidents are. And there's these UCC liens in every single state of the union that are recorded somewhere in the Capitol, in the archives where UCC filings are recorded. And I need for you as an assignment to go look them up and send them to me if you find them. Send them to info@thekriegerfiles.com. info@thekriegerfiles.com. If you find them, dig them up, because they're there, and apparently they're trying to lien everybody's property with a UCC lien. Now, is it legal? Is it constitutional? We don't know. But apparently there is some liability that the United States government decided to shoulder and put it on we the people and make it our liability, and I've got a real problem with that. I didn't ask Congress to send $998 million of stuff to Ukraine. Did you? When the DOJ says it's going to punish Boeing, I'm just kind of laughing. I mean, this is pretty crazy. Like the DOJ said they investigated the origins of COVID-19 according to a House report. U.S. authorities subpoenaed a nonprofit that used taxpayer money to fund research in a lab in China. See what I mean about giving away our money? Yeah, you're talking about Echo Health Alliance here and Peter Daszak. Yeah, we're going to try to talk about that later in the show, later in the week. You know, safe and effective, for profit. That's what this is all about. And see, there's another reason. You know, it's called genocide. That's the other reason. I mean, it's bad enough we're being bombarded with electromagnetic radiation from every cell tower we come in contact with or every high-voltage power line everywhere. We're trying to avoid them like the plague. But they just seem to be cropping up everywhere because people depend on electricity and they don't care what kind of damage that EMF causes. They don't care. You know, DNA alteration, cancer. Do people care? Brady, are you with us this morning?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Dave?
Moving right along, sir. Looking forward to my next half hour with Ellen Brown. What say you?
You know what? Maybe we can assign Doji, Ramaswamy, and Elon Musk to look into that Barack Obama backdoor deal you're talking about where they took all the nation's debt and just basically put a loan on it. Maybe we can have Doji look into that.
I wish they would, because I'll tell you what, there's something sneaky and nefarious about this entire thing with these UCC liens. Now, I've actually seen copies of it, and I'm trying to get my hands on them. The attorneys I was talking to don't want to hand them over. They think that it's too volatile right now to discuss stuff like this. But, hey, I am a journalist. I'm investigating it. I want to know how these liens got filed, who gave them permission to do it, and why they had to lien We the People. And nobody's talking about this. This is all part of Dodd-Frank. It all happened back in 2011, and Obama's name is on this UCC lien. So you can thank him, Hope, Mr. Hopey Changey, for all the crap that We the People think we have to saddle. This is where I'm saying about the federal debt versus the national debt, because the federal debt involves the United States of America Incorporated, and I got a problem with that. We didn't ask for this.
Well, you know, one thing I have to go back, you know, a lot of things stem from, you just said his name, good old Barack Obama. You know, why isn't that man called in front of Congress? Well, I have a lot of questions to ask the man personally. I can imagine how many other people in this country like to ask him, are you the acting president of this country right now? And where the hell are you hiding, sir?
Probably Nantucket. I mean, we all know about that, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I'm not sure where these people are.
He's not old. I mean, he's old now. We can't use there was a young man from Nantucket. We can't use that one anymore. So, you know, I'm like looking at the situation going, you know, you talk about a screw job on America. This guy, as soon as he, I mean, I remember vividly the day that he stood up there on January 20th, I, Barack Hussein, and I went, God. You know, here we go. Here we go. All right, let's bring the Muslims on there. Go over there to Saudi Arabia and kiss the ring, buddy. That's exactly what he did. He sold us out.
One thing you got to remember, he was the man behind the Arab Spring, and one of his classic lines was, I will fundamentally change America. And he sure did. He sure did. And we're all suffering for what that man did. And it's time that he's held accountable. Now that Trump gets in, he needs to be held accountable.
Well, I would like to dig further into this Dodd-Frank issue, and maybe Ellen Brown knows something about it. I'll ask her, you know, what she knows. It may be limited as the amount of conversation because, you know, after all, we only have 23 minutes to talk about it. But this is the mission that we're on right now. If you want to know why your property, I mean, this is how I think they're going to try to do it, because UCC, when they file a UCC lien, it allows the government or the lender or whoever is involved here, and we're playing with their money. Understand that. We're playing in a fiat money system. And this is what I want to talk to Ellen about, because, you know, if you're going to play with their currency, then you basically have to abide by all the rules in USC 12 and USC 31, which is the FDIC. That's what funded the FDIC and put it together. It is such a weak insurance contract, like most of the insurance contracts out there. Everybody has to have it if you want to borrow money. You've got to be able to insure the lender's interest.
One thing, Dave, before I go, what is that? If Barack Obama did this backdoor deal, the currency that he chose to do this backdoor deal in with everybody's houses and homes and land and whatever, is it in dollars? Is it in gold? Is it in silver? Why don't you ask your guest what currency that he chose to do that deal in, backdoor deal? Is it in dollars? If it is,
yes,
you know what's happening with the dollar.
It's going to zero. Is the dollar. Yes, it is the dollar.
There you go. Another one. A demise of the dollar is happening.
Yeah. Well, but you see, this is the whole thing about a fiat money system, Brady. You and I both know this. A lot of Americans don't. They don't understand. All they know is they can take a dollar bill out. They go to the cash register, and that dollar bill will buy something. Now, it may only buy a piece of candy. I mean, it costs $2.49 to buy a candy bar. I mean, come on. You know, people don't understand what's going on here. This is something Thomas Jefferson posited a long time ago when he said, look, if you let these people in here, you let the banks in here, and they control inflation, then deflation, and then you get stagflation, then the economy goes nowhere, your children are going to wake up as slaves on the land our forefathers conquered. So, I mean, folks, this is a constitutional lesson we're talking about here, about getting away from the gold and silver standard. You can thank Nixon. Anybody want to go dig up Dick Nixon and beat his skull to a pulp again for doing that? Anybody that upset? No, I'm not saying go out and be a grave robber. I'm just saying this is how it affected me. He takes us off the gold standard, and we've got no backing at all on a U.S. dollar. It's still fiat currency any way you look at it. I don't care how you spend it, folks. It's still funny money. Maybe we can use it at our monopoly board after the dollar goes to zero. How about that? You lose your monopoly money, just use currency. Brady, thanks for your call. Ellen Brown joins us after the bottom of the hour news break here. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, we're back after the break. And I'll tell you, the first time that I got to be on It's Rainmaking Time, I was having a conversation about all these funny documents in the land records that didn't make a whole lot of sense, that were, of course, recorded well after this REMIC trust closed, and then we were all faced with this new thing we didn't know about called securitization, and then we talked a lot about the banking situation here, and right in the middle of this show, the host of It's Rainmaking Time, Kim, says, I'm going to bring somebody on. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm being ambushed. Well, and then all of a sudden, Ellen Brown came on, and I went, oh, my God, I'm in awe of this woman. I could not believe it. She is an attorney. She founded the Public Banking Institute. She's the author of 13 books, including The Best-Selling Web of Debt, which everybody needs to go look at. I mean, she does a blog post on SheerPost. She's a regular contributor to that. Besides being an attorney, and don't hold that against her. I know everybody's down on people with bar cards, but you know, understand there are some people out there that are trying to do good for us. But you know, Web of Debt, I mean, it's huge because that's a mindset. And she has a book out called Banking on the People, Democratizing Money in the Digital Age. She has 400 plus blog articles on ellenbrown.com. So, I mean, I love it when she's able to come on the show. Good morning. I know it's early for you where you are.
Good morning.
Wow. So, I can't help myself. You know, you have done some incredible things going around the country, doing what you've done, encouraging people to research and look into setting up public banks, very similar to the Bank of North Dakota business model. And I guess, you know, most people who've never heard you before, I've interviewed you on my other show, but this particular one here, it's all about consumer, financial, legal, and stuff. And so this latest SheerPost article is How to Escape the Federal Debt Trap. I'm not going to ask you, I mean, in what, 22 minutes that we have left here, including the break that's going to come up in about 10 minutes or so. What are we talking about? I'm trying to get people's mindset off of the fact that they are not responsible for what the federal government is racking up. And then I find out there's UCC liens recorded against we the people in all 50 states. And I'm like, okay, what's this all about? And we're going to keep investigating it, whether the people that showed me these like it or not. I really think that this is a very powerful situation that we're in right now, just to even have knowledge about it. But, you know, the Dodd-Frank Act, I think we really got a screw job here, and I think people are really, because of the economy, the way things are right now, what motivated you to write this article, and you know, what's the key point?
Well, interest, the federal debt has gone up to $36 trillion, and it did that in 4 months. I mean, it added a trillion in 4 months, and so it's up $2 trillion for the year. And the interest tab on the debt is $1.16 trillion. So it's over $1 trillion. It's the first time it's ever gone over $1 trillion. It's more than what we pay in for the military. So between them, that like they're each $1 trillion each. So that's $2 trillion out of our tax budget. At the rate of, so we're paying interest at the rate of $3 billion a day. And I mean, if you figure out, for example, to pay the median rent for all the homeless people in the country would take 11 days, or sorry, 4 days interest, $11 billion. So, in other words, it's a huge bite, and so it's more than a third of our tax take is going for interest on the federal debt, and we don't need to be paying interest. And so that's what I was writing about. And what sparked me off was I saw a podcast with Chris Martinson, and he said, "Well, what if we just issued the money instead of borrowing the money? Then we wouldn't have to pay interest." He said, probably Congress would, you know, they'd probably spend too much like they do now. It's probably be inflationary, but they already spend too much. I mean, it doesn't seem to stop them that they have to borrow it instead of just issuing it. And in fact, so that's what prompted me to write, was that in fact it would actually it is more inflationary to borrow than to just issue it outright. Another expert that wrote on it was Martin Armstrong, who said that we should just issue the money, and if we had just issued the money, we would have saved like 40%, he said it would be only 40% of what it is today. I guess he meant theoretically, I guess we wouldn't have any debt if we just issued money if we didn't borrow it. But so that's what sparked me in writing, that we could actually save $1 trillion annually if we just issued the money directly. And then the question is, will that be inflationary? The reason it's more inflationary to borrow than to just print outright is that the way the government borrows is they issue bonds, and then the bonds are sold on the open market, they're sold to primary dealers who are big banks, mostly big banks, and then they're sold on the open market, like to ordinary people or to the Chinese or whatever. But so the big banks buy the debt. They typically buy it just with credit created on their books. That's the way banks do. You know, when they make a loan, they just write the deposit or the loan on one side of the book. So if you go into the bank to take out a loan, the bank will write, say you want a loan for $100,000 for to buy a house, or you know, if you need to find one for that these days. But anyway, you go into the bank, they'll write $100,000 on one side of their books, which is a deposit to you, and then they'll write $100,000 on the other side of their books because you promised to pay them back with interest. So, of course, it's going to be more than $100,000. In fact, like over the whole 30-year loan, it's probably going to be $200,000. But that's the way they just create those deposits on their books. So when the government borrows and these big banks write a deposit onto their books in order to buy the bonds, then they use those bonds as collateral, and they can make many loans against that collateral. So, you know, they can. That's the way banking works. You're allowed to make up to 10 times as many loans or your loans as you have actual money, as you have money coming in. So, well, that all gets complicated, but it comes in as reserves, which are transferred through the Fed. Anyway, so the government is not a. Many people think that the Fed buys all the debt and that we owe the money to the Fed. That's not true. The Federal Reserve is not allowed to buy directly from the government or to lend money directly to the government.
And so that doesn't happen, right?
No, they're not allowed to borrow directly. So the Federal Reserve has to go on the open market and buy them from the Chinese or from us or whoever is willing to pay them to sell them on the open market. But the good thing about the Fed buying the debt is that they are required to return the interest to the Treasury after deducting their costs. So effectively, it's interest free. When it's the Fed that buys the bonds, in other words, that is the lender to the Treasury. So there are different ways you could work around. I mean, it seems to me the government should just issue the money directly, and we've certainly done that before. The American colonists, that was their brilliant idea, was to just issue paper scrip. And people think, well, that's empty fiat. It's not worth anything. But it is worth something. The fiat that the government would issue now is backed by the full faith and credit of the government, which is actually very valuable security. I mean, people say Bitcoin is, you know, digital gold or gold itself. You can't go into a grocery store with your gold coin that's worth whatever it's up to these days, $3,000 or something, and buy groceries with it. The grocer's not going to know what it is, what it's worth. You know, they're not going to take the time to check. And you can't buy with Bitcoin either very many places. Bitcoin is hardly ever used for purchases. It's just used for, it's a speculative asset. People buy it with the hopes that it'll go up. But the dollar is, everybody's required to take it. I know you could argue about that now. Like, I know certain buses that that only take credit cards, but they're still taking digital dollars. Either way, they're taking dollars. So the dollar, backed by the full faith and credit of the American people, means that we, the people, will honor it when you...
Yeah, this is true. We're going to continue our conversation with Ellen Brown, who is an attorney that writes for Sheer Post, about how to escape the federal debt trap when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, we are back with the last 12 minutes of the show here, talking to Ellen Brown, who basically started the Public Banking Institute. And, of course, I don't see Bitcoin and public banking getting along. Do you see that?
Well, one thing... One thing we have in common, I do want to make sure that I get in how we can issue the money without it being inflationary. But I'll just say one thing that we have in common with the cryptocurrencies is both public banking and cryptocurrencies are discriminated against by the Federal Reserve. The Fed is requiring for new banks to have FDIC insurance. And we have, and of course, for a long time, they haven't allowed crypto banks to get FDIC insurance. So they can't get a master account, which means they can't really trade. And, you know, you need a master account in order to transfer funds from one bank to another, or to transfer money in or transfer money out. And we're having public banks. We have a very vibrant public banking movement. We've had over 50 bills have been filed in the last 15 years. And we have a lot of groups working on it, but we do have a couple of roadblocks. And one is that we're having trouble getting FDIC insurance because they don't want to let any newbies in and they're reluctant to cover. The whole point of a public bank is that it's where governments would put their money. Like this, I live in California, so the state of California would put its revenues in its own bank. That's what the Bank of North Dakota does. And then they operate like any bank. They can then magnify that by a factor of 10. They can issue 10 times as much money as they actually have in order to, or in other words, they can leverage their funds and they can use it directly for the state itself or the local, you know, if it's a city, City of Los Angeles also has a bill going. So they could issue money directly into their community for the benefit of their community. Whereas right now, states and cities put their money into big Wall Street banks because they think that's the safest and that's the largest. I mean, they're definitely the largest. The local banks are not big enough to handle, say, all of California's funds. I'm not sure what they have right now, but they had $200 billion not too long ago. So their own bank could – so what do they do if they can't find a local bank that's big enough? They could create their own bank, and that's what they did in North Dakota in 1919. So that's the model that we want to follow. It's been a very successful bank. It's averaged return on investment of 20%, I think, for the last – 20 years or so, and beating J.P. Morgan Chase and some other big banks over the years at different times.
Well, so anyway, I love the business model. I really do, and I wish people would just go look it up. Now, but the Bank of North Dakota, do they operate off the same federal clearinghouse system that the rest of the banks operate off of?
Yes, they have a master account with the Fed, but they don't have FDIC insurance because they were grandfathered in 1919 before there was even, you know, the FDIC didn't even come in until 1935. So they got those. And the other issue that we have here in California is the collateralization requirement. In order to take state funds, you have to post 110% collateral. Well, that means those funds aren't doing you any good because you've just tied them up with an equivalent amount in collateral. So we think both those requirements are unnecessary, and so we're fighting that. We're hoping to get some changes in the rules.
So do you think
But I did want to say before I run out of time, if I may, that if everybody thinks it would be inflationary if the government just printed the money. But it's not as long as GDP goes up at the same rate. So if supply goes up along with demand, demand is money, like the amount of money competing to get the goods, then the supply goes up and the money goes up at the same rate, then the price is going to be the same. In other words, $1 chasing one widget is the same as $10 chasing 10 widgets. As long as your $10 goes into 10 widgets, the price is going to be the same. And we can see that the most dramatic historical time was the People's Bank of China actually, they actually issue money directly, among other things, but their money supply grew by a factor of 5,200% over the space of 28 years, and it wasn't inflationary. And so I, in that article, I believe I included charts.
I'm reading it right now. Prices remained stable because the funds went into increasing the gross domestic product, which went up along with the money supply. So this is the even Steven, folks, if you're trying to wrap your head around the conversation. In other words, you basically want to fund business and boost business. I mean, this is all about capitalism versus democracy versus the government who got in bed with the banks. They made a deal. They set up protection statutes under 12 USC and 31 USC. I mean, this is what they've done. And, you know, so we're looking at, you also talk about the National Infrastructure Bank Act of 2023, which is now pending in Congress. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I think it's a very good thing because it's the only way we can, we're the only way we're going to get that infrastructure built. We need $5 trillion worth of infrastructure. And clearly the government right now doesn't have an extra $5 trillion to, I mean, everybody knows we need infrastructure, but it's not one of those required things. Like if you tried to cut Social Security, they, everybody would freak out, but you can ignore infrastructure. So the National Infrastructure Bank would work the same way that the first U.S. bank worked, where they took the debt. Alexander Hamilton took the debt, that it was a huge debt that the government had at the time, turned that into stock for a bank, capital for a bank, along with gold. So they took a certain percentage of debt and a certain percentage of gold, and then they could issue 10 times that sum in dollars. So this was our first national currency, and Hamilton specifically said that that money was to be used for production and manufacturing, anyway, like agriculture and manufacturing. So it was, again, it was a case of raising the GDP in order to match this new money that you're putting into the system. And it was the only money in the system at the time because only, I mean, you could borrow from the Bank of England, but it was pretty far away. It's not like you had a bank on every corner. So anyway, that system worked very well, and that's what that's the model of the National Infrastructure Bank that's now being proposed.
So now that this Doge group, I mean, this, you've got Elon and you've got Vivek, and they are basically being commissioned by Trump to look into stopping federal spending, cutting down on, I mean, is this, do you really think that this is going to be an effective way to stop it? I mean, they're bucking Congress right now, and they want to get rid of foreign aid. Ron Paul just said, get rid of foreign aid. And, you know, Musk responded on X and says, hey, you know, we're looking into it. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to quit buying your friends. You gotta, I mean, I like the way that, you know, we want to internalize and make the country grow again because God forbid during COVID, they shut down as many mom and pop businesses as they can. They got people very upset and frustrated and a lot of them didn't even reopen their businesses once things, you know, but then we found out the whole thing was a lie. So how do we trust a government that has done what it's done and now we have to go back and start all over again? I mean, none of this makes any sense to me, Ellen. Can you make sense of it?
Well, I do think Doge has a chance now. Of course, it won't solve the debt problem, but it can stop us from creating new debt. Always the government goes over budget, and so they always go into debt and just add more and more debt to the debt. But where I think they do have a chance now that they didn't before was last year there was the Chevron deference case.
Right.
Yeah, where it used to be that you couldn't really peer into what agencies were doing. It was like the agency just ruled, and then the Supreme Court had to go along with whatever the agency said. But now the Supreme Court has said, no, if it's an unconstitutional rule, that's our bailiwick. We're allowed to look and, you know, we can rule on it. So that opens up all these agencies to the trouble with the military, for example, is we just don't know what they're doing. We're not allowed to know. Everything's called top secret, and we know there's a lot of waste and fraud going on. We hear about these different instances, but what can we do about it? It's all top secret, and it's all sort of so. But now we can look. Now they can look at least. And I just think the explosion of the internet, people know so much more, or able to look at so much more than previously, that now we have a chance, more of a chance to wake people up, to expose what's going on, to get people to demand change, and to know what change is actually possible.
Well, I appreciate that, Ellen Brown. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning. I know it was hard getting up this early to talk to us, but, you know, God bless you for the work you've been doing and everything that you are, have done. And it's just amazing. I'm just hoping that we can stabilize this country in the coming years under the new Trump administration. And in the meantime, for all those of you who listen to us on SQRradio.com, we will start our Christmas music programming at 8 o'clock this evening with a 2-hour Mannheim Steamroller special. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.